The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome, my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. On this week's episode, we have a gigantic palette, but there's only one hue that is represented. That's right. It's 50 Shades of Grey. Watch 2015. Step into my office, said the spider to the guy.
We gotta be.
Let me check your references. It looks like you've got a lot of experience. What would you say to 50,000 a year? 50,000 shades of gray.
Is more gray than your human mind and your human eyeball cones can possibly even conceive.
Curious about our health benefits?
Here's one benefit, that boner.
Here, let me... let me describe to you 1/50,000th of these shades. I'm going to punch your butt.
The punch is so good.
It's a book so nasty that people in the black section of Sherwin-Williams get looks like, oh, you nasty.
Oh, you nasty motherfuckers.
Just looking at all the different shades of gray.
This used to be a nice Christian community, Sherwin-Williams.
And you made that one dirty section.
You made a dirty, dirty color.
It's enough to make you turn to your wife and say, let's just go with mauve.
If it sounds
fine, it's driven you to mauve.
If it sounds like my recording's coming to you exclusively in the right channel of your headphones, it's because I'm favoring that butt cheek because my other one's so tender and sore from punching.
Mr. Gray, remember last night when you punched my butt? Yeah.
I'm suing you for sexual harassment.
No, you can't. Check the contract, Section B for butts. That's how I keep it categorized. B section, all butt stuff, including indices J through K, punching.
See you at Casual Friday.
My inner goddess awoke to punch his butt, and then he was punching my butt. And then we punched each other's butts back and forth.
You done butt punch the cum right out me. Sorry, Deborah, I laughed. Let me try that take again. You done butt punch the cum right out me.
We ADR'd in all of Christian Grey's lines. So if the real guy doesn't do anything, it's just the three of us taking turns.
Yeah. Oh man.
How many times in the novel does he or she give the other one purple nurples? Are their nurples?
I am the oldest master of your sexual destiny, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest HR representative, Travis McElroy.
And I'm Griffin McElroy, the Emperor of Piss. Oh, man, I don't know a goddamn thing about this film or book.
I think we are nailing it.
I think we're doing pretty good.
A lot of people described it, they said it was just like pornography.
Yeah.
And I don't think those people have seen pornography.
Do they have wet butts? Because if not, then it's not like the pornography I've seen.
As my wife pointed out, it's probably just a bunch of butts, right? Like butts for days.
Yeah.
Butts on butts on butts.
I made this point to my wife, Rachel, who I feel like when I say the words I'm about to say to you, the audience, she maybe loves me a little bit less. I think I shave a little bit off of the reservoir there. But that movie can't show penetration. Like, it just can't show penetration. Like, it will not show penetration. So, like, this is the nastiest book ever, but the movie can't even show a penetration scene of any object into any orifice.
At best, it is like it's like a softcore, you know, late night HBO Cinemax kind of movie. Like even, at worst.
Yeah, even that can show like the bottom of a ball as it penetrates, possibly. But I don't think
a ball, left or right, choose. Right,
and only the bottom quarter of it. And I'm saying we're not even going to get that, so what's the god's damn point?
Just read a book.
Well, don't read that book.
Use your imagination.
Read any other book, I mean, honestly.
Watch the pornography of your mind.
I think there's ropes and chains, right?
And swinging hands. Who's your daddy? Yes, I am.
And a gross misrepresentation of like the whole BDSM lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But other than that, one minor thing upon which the entire book is built. It's a fine read, a breezy read.
Do you think that the BDSM community reads 50 Shades of Grey in anger the way like the Wiccan community reads Harry Potter?
Yeah, there's no butt punching in BDSM. What are you even saying, 50 Shades of Grey?
And now all the first timers are going to come in and just start punching butts day one. That's a professional move.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
Hey, Mistress Jasmine, could you step into my office for a minute? We've had a lot of complaints. We're going to have to let you go from the BDSM club.
You're out.
Why? I punched one butt?
Yeah, but we have a zero butt punch strike policy.
I walked into the fuck prison and just shouted whale on my peepee. That's not allowed? Okay.
No, that was okay. It was the butt punching that was the problem.
I can't help myself. I see those cheeks. They look like little speed bags.
I'm training for the fight.
I got a fight coming up. Mike's son is about to lose his first. Oh, on this show, it's like questions and stuff. My son is about to lose his first tooth. His best friend received $100 goddamn from the tooth fairy, and my son seems to think that amount is normal. How do I manage his expectations without losing the magic? And that's from Dentally Distraught in Delaware.
Here's the point I'll make, and I know I'm coming at this from an adult who is, at best, tooth fairy agnostic. Mm-hmm. I'm not tooth fairy theistic, but I think the truth is out there somewhere. But I'm not willing to commit one way or the other. If I had to choose between losing a tooth or paying $100, I would pay $100 every time. It's not even a question to me. But each of my teeth, I have currently in my head, let me do some quick math, probably $3,000 worth of teeth going for me. This seems about right. Are you right? I got about 30 teeth up in there.
That sounds right.
Let me count them real quick. That'd be real good radio. I have about $3,000 worth of beautiful enamel in my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm not willing to trade any of that for $100. Now, I'm doing fairly well for myself these days. Maybe in my ramen and hot dogs era, I would have gone to the tooth bank and just started swapping those bad boys out.
Griffin, you know that like the deal with the tooth fairy isn't that you're buying the teeth from the child, right? You're not saying like, hey, Tim.
No, I'm just saying if we're looking for a way to establish value. All right. Losing your teeth is the worst. It's the dream. It's the nightmare I have like most commonly is the tooth losing nightmare. I think a lot of people can relate to that. How much money would you spend to save one of your teeth from leaving your mouth?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a toughie, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what that figure. I don't know
it's
what that
definitely more than 100.
More than 100.
$1,500 to replace a tooth in my mouth.
Well, and now we're talking. Yeah, if we're going into the medical community, each tooth could arguably be worth anywhere between $800 to $20,000.
I feel like we're ignoring something about this question, and that is that kids lie all the time, constantly. They're never not lying.
They're 100% lying. Forever,
but like, no question. Call this kid's family. Guarantee they didn't even know he lost a tooth. Like,
let me pitch this scenario to you, though, Justin. Okay, hey, Deborah, did you grab that tooth from under Timmy's pillow, right? And you put a dollar. Yeah, I just grabbed a dollar out of your wallet, but I didn't have any dollars in my wallet. I just hit the bank. It was all hundreds. Oh shit!
Actually, I just saw one. And I was like, here, let's just go with it.
I just grabbed a bill, because who keeps $100 bills in their wallet, Steve? This is why we have money troubles.
Justin, this is something that you're going to run into eventually with your spawn, your brood. I think $1 for a tooth, even a child's tiny, insignificant bullshit tooth that can't do much chewing of anything in any way, I think $1 is garbage. I think that's a bullshit exchange rate. First of all, inflation, crazy. Inflation be crazy right now, you guys. So like $1 isn't going to buy you anything. It's not even going to buy you an issue of Us Weekly.
I think you're making a fair point. I don't really see that it's up to me, but I think it's a fine point you're making.
I'm saying like at the very least $5 and then at least the
but
child.
How would I weigh into that decision at all?
Well, the Tooth Fairy comes to you and says, what denomination of
where are you at currency? Economically?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So like inflation, like they want to make sure they just keep it like within the they don't want to make the kid richer than me at that
point. Right. Moment. Yeah, because then they become the parent.
That's the law.
Why do you think that like fucking Britney Spears' parents just like fucking robbed her blind? Justin Bieber got robbed blind. It's because none of these parents want to be the children. You know,
right, and that's what happens. That's what that Head Start thing you hear so much about. That's what it is.
That's what it is. It's a parental swaparoonie. It's a Freaky Friday, but it's been codified into a business.
I have a suggestion for the question asker.
Go.
Instead of money, swap it for some kind of good, like maybe a new Xbox game, right?
Okay.
That costs less than $100.
That's awesome.
But in a child's mind.
Mm-hmm. It might as well cost $10,000.
Yeah, like, oh, I got something. That's better. That's
a really good idea. $60 for a new AAA video game mm-hmm. is still a crazy amount of money.
Yeah,
I'm saying you could pick up, like, a pre-owned, a certified pre-owned game.
Oh, thanks. Madden 96 for the original PlayStation.
Great. I love how it has 8 different stickers on it. Uh-huh. Thanks, GameStop. Thanks. You're a really good company.
Oh, and it smells like weed, and that's fun. Madden 96, who was even playing football back there?
Is that Deion Sanders on the cover?
Okay. I mean, I guess I wasn't alive when Deion Sanders like existed, but that's totally.
Why does it say on the back "bone nose tackling fidelity"? I don't understand.
How old would you say is like the average kid who's like losing teeth and swapping them with the Tooth Fairy? Like 7?
I should learn this.
Is that like 7?
I feel like 5 to 10 is really the sweet spot where all the goddamn teeth fall out of your head. Oh, childhood is the worst.
Because I feel like that, like, maybe he's going to lose sight of the fact that, like, his friend got $100 by the time he gets, like, a 20.
Yeah, or he'll lose sight of it when the parents of the $100 child go completely broke. They could go completely bankrupt because that child
they're
going to
spend $30,000.
Well, $3,600 if they keep it up.
I would like to suggest that if you are leaving $100, there is no amount of like being rich where you would think that is a good idea. I would like to suggest that if you are leaving $100 under a child's pillow for a tooth, there is only one logical reason that would be happening, and that is money laundering. You are trying to launder a large sum of money through your child's mouth so the federales can't get their grubby mitts on it.
It's also, I would pitch another scenario that this kid's parents forgot to swap the tooth like the last 3 times. And we got to pull out all the stock. We got to do something big for this one or he's going to stop believing.
Well, I'm glad we could talk about that instead of my thing.
I'm saying that they are equally likely.
I thought they were honestly, I mean, if I was running a chuckle school, I would say the concept of forgetful parents versus
money laundering.
You want to interrupt to get, that's, yeah, cool. Like, what do you got now? What do you got now, Carrot Top?
Maybe you got your chocolate, my peanut butter, I got my peanut butter and your chocolate. They're forgetful money laundering parents.
Okay.
Did we launder that money? Oh, we're in jail. Fuck.
Oh, we were supposed to launder $10 each time. We'll just do $100. No one will notice. Surely he won't tell the kids at school.
Where do we put the books we've been keeping for the mob? I don't even know. Fuck.
Which mob are we in?
I'm so shitty at this.
Are we in your mob? Sorry. I know this is awkward.
Are we in the Scarface mob or the Japanese mob?
Are we Yakuza?
Are we Yakuza?
Are we supposed to be putting Yakuza money in Dylan's mouth?
Is this ornate dragon on my back a gang thing? Or is it, I just love dragons?
Is there a Rumble tonight or is that tomorrow? Did we miss it?
Oh, honey, no. I just broke a pool cue over my knee, and God help me if I can remember what I was going to do with it.
That was our last good pool cue. The other ones are all warped and bent.
If only we hadn't spent all that money laundering it through our child and the tooth fairy.
Honey, you put the actual money in the laundry. No.
Now this is like the Amelia Bedelia school of mafioso life.
You're such a scatterbrained mafioso.
You're supposed to put dates in the pudding, so you cut up a calendar. Amelia Bedelia, Amelia Bedelia Corleone. You don't know nothing about money laundering,
dummy. Y'all want a Yahoo?
Yep.
Yes.
Let's just take a quick moment and take our game and recognize the game of Rachel Sperling. Thank you, Rachel Sperling. Rachel Sperling, who was at the San Francisco live show.
It was basically a celebrity. We got a bunch of emails and tweets that were like, oh my God, I got to meet Rachel Sperling.
Yeah. So. And Davenport was there. My boy D, Big D.
They fought.
They fought.
The ground shook.
And San Francisco's not there anymore.
Yep.
Just because there was a flurry of blows exchanged between them. Anyway, thank you, Rachel Sperling. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jacob, who asks, how can you dominate each zodiac sign? What is every zodiac's weakness? I just want to know how to dominate every zodiac sign in a friendship type of way. How do you become dominant in a relationship with any zodiac, especially Geminis? I would also like to know what every zodiac sign's weakness is emotionally and mentally. Ooh, here's some 50 Shades shit, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. So wait, hold on. Is this dude looking for something that's like, oh, if you make eye contact with a Scorpio, they're yours forever?
And that's right, Travis. If you make eye contact with a Scorpio, usually it's hard to do because Scorpios are trained to just sort of look into the middle distance. Mm-hmm. They will look intently at a chin or nose, but never in the eyes. But if you can trick one of them into doing it, their soul is legally your property. So that's what Scorpios are all about. That was very astute, Travis, and I didn't know that you were a student of the stars.
I only know one other one.
What's that?
And it's Aquarius. And if Aquarius. You squeeze their right pinky finger, short squeeze, long squeeze, short squeeze, short squeeze, short squeeze.
Just bang out the Konami code on their digits. And then what does that do?
That means that they owe you $5 every day for the rest of their lives.
And you do that to enough Aquarii, and
you got a little cottage industry.
Yeah, yep. You're set. You're good to go. Cancers, they actually have a glowing weak point on their belly. That one's easy. If you punch that, then they void their bells.
And you've got that on them.
You punch that, it flips them over. They kind of lie there on their back like...
And then you want to use a Deku Nut. If you use the Deku Nut, it stuns them.
Right. Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just stop giving it gas, I guess.
Yeah. Low MPG.
It should put a stop to it.
If you if you just sort of grab their horns, then you can just like fucking flip them right over. They can't do anything. It's like grabbing a cat by the scruff of its neck.
And then there's the monkey.
No,
they're weak against fire.
No.
Bulbasaur is weak against fire and bird types. So, God, you're being such a... You're acting like a real Bulbasaur right now. I know you're a Taurus, but I'm an Aries, and as far as I know, I don't really have any weaknesses.
Your weakness, your hubris.
Yeah, I guess that's true. If there's a movie with a robot in it and something bad happens to the robot... I'll cry for 3.5 weeks.
That's a big issue.
That's a big one for me. Hey, Griffin, you want to go see Big Hero 6? I don't think I will. Thank you. Because I have plans next Friday.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to still be crying.
I don't want to still be crying about Big Hero 6.
Pisces, their weak point is the heart. You got to stab them in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that would work for most of them.
Not so much an emotional, mental weakness. I'm pretty sure everyone's weak in their heart.
No, but Pisces are especially weak.
I see here on your sexual contract, you've written down, don't stab my heart. And I have to be honest, I wasn't planning on doing that. But I guess it's good to have balance.
Super curious.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I love the context of this question more than anything. Mm. I love it. I love that there's a guy sitting there going like, I just want to be friends with everyone. So how can I dominate
them? Well, you can't, you know what demands, you can't be friends with somebody until they're just fucking terrified of you.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's called the Biff school of making friends.
Yeah.
And you really have to terrorize them into being your buddy.
Justin, yeah. You have just broken my heart in twain. This idea that the plot of Back to the Future is really about lonely Biff.
Yeah.
McFly! McFly, what are you, cancer? Come here. I want to punch your tummy.
You find that weak point.
What if in the moment when George McFly stood up to Biff, Biff was just heartbroken? Like, but I thought we were friends. This is just us, right? I give you a hard time, and you're kind of a dork, but like...
Geminis, of course, their only weak point is being covered in manure. It's the only way to kill one. It nullifies their regenerative process.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two of them.
And also, if you kill one with manure, it ripples back through their bloodline and kills all of the past versions of them with manure as well.
Or you could if you wanted to, you know, do it scientifically, you could kill the past one and it would ripple forward. That's a much easier...
Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, makes a lot more sense. Whew, just now thinking about that. If Marty McFly had just sort of murdered, what's his face? Mad Bill Hickok. What was it? Mad Dog Tannen shot him right in the dome, mm-hmm. or punched him in the, or covered him in manure and then shot him.
Or else there's no injury, fucking,
there's
no,
it. Well, it's the only way. It's the only right. way to ensure that the job gets
gotta
done.
Gotta weaken him up.
Covered in manure, shoot him, and then that pretty much takes care of, well, just about everything, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That wraps up the series,
that wraps up the franchise.
Do
you guys want to
do...
Should we do Future 4? I don't think we can, because there is no friction there. We murdered all Biffs, past, present, and future.
The Biffpocalypse. What if the fourth one is they realized they needed at least one Biff to like save the world?
And you have to go dig Biff out of the poop before he gets shot. If he gets shot, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
But you have to go shoot yourself.
Oh, fuck.
Before you shoot Biff.
Because you are the gunman on the grassy knoll.
You are the third man. You are the one who has to bring yourself down before you shoot Biff.
Back into the future. Back into the future.
Solid.
Thank you.
Delicious.
Next question.
Let's see. We got one here. I'm going with my wife and a part of her family on a rather expensive trip to Florida, which has been planned for several months. We are now very close to the trip, and a 50-something-year-old sister who originally declined invite is interested. However, she doesn't want to pay and wants to sleep on a cot with her boyfriend in our beachfront home's enclosed patio. How should we handle this? That's from Gym City Slacker.
Oh, it's easy. Tell him to fuck off. What are you even talking about? We don't want to pay, so you're not going to get any money out of us, and we're also going to make you feel super bad by sleeping on the ground. Is that okay? Is that an equitable solution?
We don't want to pay, and we want to have sex on your patio.
We're not only going to not contribute, we're going to make you feel shitty the whole time you're there. Is that okay? Does that sound like, am I a good vacay buddy? So, like, if you want to take them and have them not pay because times are tight, but they want to, like, hang out with you, that's fine. Do that. But don't, like, this... I fucking hate that. I'm not going to pay, so I'll just, like, live in poverty while you guys do it up, sleep in your, thousand thread count sheets while I huddle up on the floor underneath some Us Weeklies.
If you have any bread crusts or any rinds.
Are you guys going out to a nice dinner again? Well, don't forget the doggy bags, I guess.
Right, that sucks.
And then feed us like dogs.
Just leave your leftovers in a pile on the floor outside the mudroom, and me and Dan will just get to them.
Don't forget to slop your in-laws.
Go ahead and put them in a garbage bag if you want. We'll just tear open the garbage bag.
And then sleep in it later. We'll use it as a blanket.
We'll use it like a little food womb.
Just sleep in your trash.
No, that sucks. Don't
put any chicken bones in there, though. You know how we get.
Dan choked on the last one. He's dead now. I crawled inside him for warmth. You thought he smelled bad on the outside. Well, we haven't bathed in 3 weeks.
We don't have a fancy shower like you people.
Try.
No, I think the Griffin is right. And if it's like a matter of like they always wanted to go, but like they couldn't afford it. And now it's like, hey, would it be cool if we went? Like we like that's different than like, hey, sure, fuck it. We'll go with you. Well, I'm not going to pay because you already paid for everything, right? So like there's nothing to pay for. That's shitty.
Yeah, it sucks. Oh, I mean, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying if they want to go and not pay and you're fine with it because you want to spend time with them and they don't have the money right now and you feel bad for excluding them and then your family and you want to chill, cool. Then have them along. But I mean, this is more advice for them than it is for you, I guess, but just this act of like, we don't have money, so we're going to live like paupers while you guys do up the high life. Like, that sucks.
Imagine being the boyfriend and asking off for work, like, hey, I'm going to need this weekend July off. I am going to stay with my girlfriend's family on the patio for free for a week.
So I don't know why you would be so specific with your time off request.
I'll eat a sandwich on Thursday and maybe see a movie on Friday.
I just think this is the ultimate expression of beach life. I'm pretty sure this is how Jimmy Buffett was born. Like he realized
he was conceived on a patio.
He was like, well, once you stay for free in somebody's enclosed patio of your girlfriend's family, you really don't get to come back from that level of chill. You can't start to rebuild a normal life within societal bounds. Right. Well, yeah, what is this tie? It's a noose is what it is. Because I once had the ultimate freedom of sleeping in a cot in an enclosed patio.
I made love on a cat on a
what?
On a cot on a patio. I know freedom.
You said I made love on a cat on a patio.
Well, that was my favorite Jimmy Buffett song.
Stay.
And my favorite scene from Garfield Tale of Two Kitties.
Stay put, Fluffy. Dad's almost done.
Do you think that's what Cheeseburger in Paradise, that song is about? Is that Jimmy Buffett was starving to death on a family vacation he didn't pay for, and then a miracle burger just appeared on his naked chest?
Just floating. Floating in the air, he had to chase it down the beach.
It's not your time, James.
Cheeseburger to paradise.
Cheeseburger I found in the trash with my in-laws. Leftovers, half of a burger, some old French fries, and half of a cake. It's just a cheeseburger I found in the trash.
Cheeseburger or else I'll die.
I like mine before the maggots get to it. Next to the ketchup, but not next to tampons. Cold draft beer. None of that is in the garbage. Oh well, it's just a.
Cheese tamponi in paradise.
Can't be too picky when you're close to the edge.
Jimmy, I don't think we can release this song.
Use your imagination to just get it down.
Hey, Jimmy, could you come in my office real quick? I want to talk to you about your latest single.
Yeah, well, there's sandwiches there. They're probably not going to be.
Yeah, it turns out it's the most popular song ever.
We can't keep it on the shelves.
It's uniting the world like wild stallions.
He had to travel 800 years in the future to pin cheese tampons in paradise. How about a money zone?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, and we'll say it again, 90%. That's the amount of time that you are in underpants.
Not true.
Underpants get old fast.
I don't want to, no, listen, I don't want to, like, cause a stink with the bullet points that MeUndies has provided us, but I would say that number is much, 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 much higher for me.
When was the last time you weren't wearing underwear, Griffin?
I mean, there's a like an 8 second period. No, not even that. I would say there's about a 4 second period there when I switch between pairs of MeUndies. And that's about all that you can get out of me vis-a-vis my ding-dong being exposed to the world.
Well, not everybody has those sorts of restrictions, I think.
Oh, they are not restrictive at all. They are breathable and soft, and I need them on me at all times.
I am, technically speaking, wearing MeUndies right now, if you guys have to know the truth.
Wait, what do you mean technically? Like, you're wearing one on your head?
Yeah, he's fashioned them into a sharp bangle.
I'm legally wearing MeUndies right now.
They're contractual Mundies.
I'm wearing contractual undies.
We call them Mundies, by the way.
At this point, I just assume that everyone's made the switch. But if you haven't, MeUndies is a great fitting pair of underwear that's 2 times softer than cotton, and that is no BS. That is 100% true. They are lovely. If you go to MeUndies.com, you're going to find incredible styles and different looks for both men and women. If you know, it's a little late because you've done Miss Valentine's Day, but let me just throw out matching underpants. It's a good look.
It's President's Day. Right? Today is President's Day when you're listening to this?
Sure.
Yeah.
God, it's going to be hard because they have to ship them and stuff. If you can go to the Mundy's factory and get them hot off the tap and then just like throw those on your tip, and then you're going to have a President's Day style that your partner or your future partner that maybe you haven't even met yet is just going to go a-gaga for.
And the MeUndies fabric is awesome. It fits great, doesn't ride up, and it literally pulls moisture away from your skin, so you're cool all day long. You're so comfortable wearing these goddamn underpants. They're so lovely, and they're also environmentally friendly, and it's wonderful. If you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, you're going to get 20% off your first order and free shipping. Go look. I promise you, you'll see a style you'll like. And then you'll order them and you'll say like, oh my God, why have I not been girding my loins with these like my whole life?
Let me ask you two a question.
hit me.
Let me ask you two a science question.
Okay.
You put the Mundies on.
Uh-huh.
And then it draws the moisture away from your zone.
Uh-huh.
That's what we've been told by our corporate overlords.
It's a Fremen suit. You put it on, and I've also been told this just sort of by my zone, because it knows what it likes, and it likes dryness.
And it's Bluetooth compatible.
It pulls away your gooch juice, and it pulls it all away, and it keeps it super dry, and it removes the moisture. But it doesn't get very soggy. Is it teleporting? Your gooch juice away? Is it like a wizard? Like,
where is the juice going?
I don't know.
The juice is loose.
The juice is loose, but is it being fucking procedurally atomized? What's going on? Is it vaping my juice?
Have you seen Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? And you know Mike TV?
Yeah.
Okay, every time you wear MeUndies, someone on your television gets wet underpants.
Okay, that's cool.
That makes perfect sense. Anyway, go to MeUndies.com/mybrother and try those out. You're going to love them. Who else we got?
Well, we've got like old school friend of the show.
Oh man, classic
Nature Box.
Classic pals at Nature Box.
I'm trying Who's to think hungry? Of like how do you not already know about Nature Box at this point?
I just assume that everybody at this point is wearing MeUndies and snacking on Nature Box, which are whole. I mean, you're gonna snack, right? Everybody's gonna snack. Everybody knows that. But what Nature Box affords you is an opportunity to do it in a healthy style. Healthy.
Not just healthy but like with a rotation of like brand new snacks every time you receive a box. Like you're not going to, there's so many options, so many different choices. You can choose the same ones. If you're like, oh my God, I love those pistachio power clusters. I never want to not have those. Great. You can get those and then try like 3 or 4 new ones that month. You know what I mean? And then you're like, okay, now I love this. We just did garlic plantain chips.
Ooh. Whoa, that sounds good.
They're insane. They're so good. I have to make sure I don't just keep eating them because then all I will taste for the next 3 days is garlic. But they're so good.
And tiny bananas. That's what a plantain is.
Mm-hmm.
A plantain is like a little baby banana. It's so cute.
But yeah, there's like you can also, there's stuff like dried berries and like some dried pineapple slices that are so good. So basically, any kind of snack that you like, whether it's savory, sweet, spicy, whatever, you're going to find something at Nature Box that you're like, okay, yeah, that sounds incredible. And then, you know, you mix and match a couple new snacks.
and they have zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams trans fat, and no high fructose corn syrup. So it's like the best, and here's the best thing about it, in case you didn't already know, you have the chance to try NatureBox for free with a free what? Trial box featuring 5 of their most popular snacks.
It's making me angry now that you're lying.
I am not lying, Justin. I'm 100%
telling
you. There's
no way any deal could be this good.
It is that good, Justin. And you know why? Because we love our listener. NatureBox was like, I don't know about these free snacks, guys. And we put our foot down and we dominated them. Mm-hmm. We stared them in the eye and we said, give me free snacks. And they said, okay, please don't punch us in the butt again.
And they said, but you have to go to their house and hand deliver it and then mouth feed it to them like a baby bird. And I said, that's fine. And that's the only, listen, it's not ideal. You're gonna wish that you were eating these delicious sriracha roasted cashews without us having to chew them up and spit them in your mouth like a baby bird. Well, an adult bird. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But it won't cost you anything. And we're very discreet. We come in an unmarked brown box.
Please don't cover up the breath holes.
Yeah, we need those.
So go to naturebox.com/mybrother and get a free trial box now.
Where'd all my plantains go? We eated them in here because we had a very long journey in the postal service system. I have a call to action for you listeners, and that is to pick up Robocopter Ski Patrol at Amazon today and make your life and the lives of your loved ones demonstrably better. That word is so great, isn't it? Demonstrably.
Because it's not demon words, in there.
And monster, yeah. You can make the lives of your loved ones full of demon monsters, but better.
The hell is this thing you're telling me about?
Robocopter,
tell me what it is.
Robocopter Ski Patrol. I want you to, when you hear those words, Robocopter Ski Patrol, first I want you to just sort of smile.
I got my wallet out, just like you saying it, I got my wallet out.
Think Doctor Who crossed with Archer and a little bit of high-grade alcohol consumption. Does that sound awesome? Then you want Robocopter Ski Patrol, the best way to buy someone's love, especially the authors, and you know you want that. This is a book written by Aaron C. Cross that you can get on Amazon. They have it on paperback or Kindle if you like digi stuff. And it is about a group of, quote, idiots and perverts and an international conspiracy. And there's a great drawing on the front of the book of the Robocopter in question. That looks like maybe I did it when I was 7 years old. Look, it kind of reminds me of the album art or the cover art for Grant Andrews' Kid Cop, which is my classic book coming soon to Amazon. it looks great. So that's on Amazon now. Think about it. Look inside your heart. Just decide that you need Robocopter Ski Patrol in your life.
And then just buy it. And just buy Don't it. Think about it anymore.
I have a message for Kevin Riptide Ruiz. I think I fucked that up. And it's from Ginny Rampage Hernandez and Sean Bandana Mitchell. Rampage and Bandana say to Riptide, the starry-eyed angler gnashes through spinal caps left by spinal taps and constant lashes and knickknacks fallen around her tummy sack. Lay your head on the supple breast of the mayor smoking crack. That laugh that was bathed in ichor comes from playing like a matador, has us rolling on the floor. Did I ever tell you your mother is a whore? Woof. Woofa-doofa. Hoofy-doofy.
Rampage, Bandana, you're better than that.
What happened? What did I just read? What was any of that?
I think you're a slam poet now.
I think I might be a... Oh, did I not slam that hard enough? The starry-eyed angler gnashes through spinal caps. Hold on. I'm going to decipher this real quick. Oh, Riptide just graduated from college. Congratulations, Kevin.
Congratulations, Riptide.
Way to go. We're very proud of you. It was a hard time getting through Spinal Taps University, but you did a really great job. Happy graduation. And now you have a wide world of opportunities just laying in front of you.
I'm Jesse Thorne.
I'm Jordan Morris.
The federal government has millions of dollars in programs and opportunities that you need to seize today.
You're a taxpayer, right? Well, then you've got it coming.
Learn the secrets you deserve to know. Find the bowling alley under the White House and the laser tag arena underneath Congress. Learn the real story behind Nicolas Cage's dinosaur auction. Find out why the Department of Energy has banned shirts. Learn the locations of America's secret alien bases and Dan Aykroyd. Find out where the Library of Congress keeps its casingles.
For all of this and more, drop us a line. Jordan Jesse Go, 123 iTunes Street, or wherever you download podcasts.
Take us in.
Farm wisdom.
It's been a while.
Make a cake right out of hay, farm wisdom.
Make a what now?
Make a cake right out of hay, farm wisdom.
Okay.
Make cakes.
Make a cake right out of hay, farm wisdom.
I thought you said cake rat.
Have the saddest birthday, farm wisdom.
Well, not if you're a cow.
Yeah, if you're a cow, that goes down.
It would be fucking dope.
Farm wisdom. It's back.
Griffin, read the first one.
This one is from Hannah, who says, donkeys hate canines. To protect your sheep from coyotes, you should get a couple of donkeys. They get lonesome if they are only one. Ain't that the truth? Be very careful. They will sometimes kick and kill pet dogs. Oof. Man,
donkeys, you gotta really
hate dogs.
Yeah.
You know that movie Must Love Dogs? Don't try to set a donkey up with Jimmy Garofalo. I don't know what I just said.
No, that was what that movie was about.
Was she in it, or was that truth about cats? Oh, fuck. Okay, so now I know that. Also, about coyotes, they love to hunt domesticated dogs. The way they do it is to send one coyote of the pack to play with the dog and lure it back to the pack where they will kill it and eat it. They don't eat the paws, though, so if you see your dog playing with a coyote, get it away fast. What the fuck, coyotes?
They're all honeypotting all over the place.
They're setting up these irresistible honeypot playpen traps. This is some fucking garbage.
I can't believe that coyotes weren't any better than this. You think they would have a little more respect for their superiors.
Why do you think they consume all the coyote, but they draw the line, or the dog, but they draw the line at the paws?
Because that's the part that's been on a human floor.
Yeah, they don't like it.
It's been sullied. Mm-hmm. It's too prim and proper, you know what I mean?
This is fucked up. Hey, you like to play? Hey, check out this butt. You want to sniff it? Yeah, let's do a butt sniff. Hey, you know where we can find a lot of other butts that we can just sort of slam jam on and just sort of sniff all day until the sun comes down? I can tell you, back at my coyote house. Going back to my coyote house, I got about 6 or 7 butts there, and we can go sniff them together, and you'll come home with your paws intact. I promise you're gonna have a great time. Don't mind all the paws laying around. We got piles of paws. Don't worry about those. Those are from other dogs, but they're not as special as you. I'm sure you'll pass through our coyote gauntlet just fine, unmarred. Just come on through. Come on through. Butts are just a little bit further, and chomp.
I also want to say, Hannah, thank you so much for sending these in. But I can honestly say, even without this little snippet of farm wisdom, if I looked out my window and saw my dog playing with a
coyote,
I wouldn't just be like, oh, right. How cute.
Oh, that's sweet.
Mm.
I'll tell you what else I wouldn't do, though. Get in the middle of that.
No.
Because clearly, coyotes like to eat dogs very, very much. And I don't want to be the one who is saying, please don't do this.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh, you don't want to take that like away from the coyote?
Well, no. I don't want to take me into the coyote.
Yeah.
I don't want to be eaten by a coyote.
If Dustin had his
I love
brothers.
Dogs.
Yeah.
I love dogs.
By extension,
I know where
he loves them. He loves coyotes, but the outside of them, not the
right,
inside.
Right, the outside, not the inside. I don't need a better look there. I love dogs. I know where they sell dogs.
Yeah. Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Sure, yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by level 14,000, Yadru Sham and Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Ricardus, who asks, scientists try to dim the sun. Witches pray so that the sun doesn't shine. The result will be the result will be famine. What needs to be done about this?
Okay. So run it back. The question asker is,
yeah,
is just stating the fact that scientists,
all facts here, baby.
Okay, scientists are trying to dim the sun. Fact.
Can we turn the sun
while simultaneously
down just a little bit? Yeah.
While simultaneously on the other end of the spectrum, witches are trying to stop the sun from shining. Oops, yeah. Both worked. Now we got famine.
Yeah. If we need witches and scientists to agree that just one of them's going to keep the sun in check, because right now there's a little bit
it's
too
running
much
rampant
between the science and the prayers. Sun's getting a little too dark for my taste. Thank you.
Did the scientists go to the witches as like one option for keeping the sun in check? Like, listen, our science isn't getting it. We have one other scientific solution, witches. Please, please, just dim it down. Keep it down.
See, I was thinking that it was more of a circumstance in which they, like, the two sides just forgot to communicate with each other.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening.
Oh, no, it was an off week. Science was supposed to keep the sun not burning the planet up. And they're like, no, because last week, oh, wait, hold on. Was it an odd-numbered week? Oh, no. We scienced and magicked.
We scienced and magicked too dark.
Science had the week off.
It's so vitally important that at least one of these two organizations is doing something about the goddamn sun, though. Or else, what's up? Day after tomorrow, solar flares, Golden Gate Bridge, that's gone. Done got melted by the sun's extreme heat.
Why? Okay.
Ionosphere? Witches did that. So you have them to thank for the ionosphere.
No, here's the one thing I will say to Justin's point. I love anyone who poses a question and then ends it, like, poses a hypothetical and it's like, what can we do to stop it? It's like, that's like saying, like, what if demons and monsters attacked the Earth? What could be done?
This is Travis, this is fucking Debate Club 101. If you even open up your statement to be possibly disproven, if you show even a fraction of a shadow of doubt in your own mind, then your enemy debater is going to come at you with a hearty riposte, and he's going to tear your shit apart. This is why in
like
debate about just like a coyote does with a dog.
I appreciate this question asker doesn't want to get hung up too much on the will they, won't they of witches and science.
Will those two
out the
kids
sun
ever get together?
This person has leapt right to, of course it's going to happen, let's work on solutions together. Mm-hmm. Internet, let's get a plan together for when this does happen.
Okay, we're going to have to get the daughter of the Witch King to fall in love with the son of the lead scientist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what science and magic together? This couldn't possibly be. But then they really hit it off, and they're like, man, love would be great if we weren't so hungry because of this blasted famine.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Solutions.
She'll fill his belly with her magical spawn.
Uh-huh.
And when that baby comes out of his body, fully formed man, he will be the Solar Lord.
Please tell me, Travis, there is at least one response. Or Griffin, please tell me there's at least one response to this question from someone saying, okay, I'm picking up what you're laying down. Let me apply my pen.
Finally, someone had the balls to say it.
Well, we're all thinking...
Well, first off, let me hit you with Saucy's response. My fucking boy Saucy is in the comments. You know, when he's got something to say, you can't fucking keep Saucy down. And Saucy said, dim sum does sound good right now.
Nice.
Whoa, Saucy, you just intentionally misinterpreted dim sum.
And he did
God, that's classic.
That's fucking classic Saucy. And he just, someone call an ambulance because my gut just fucking busted. Now I'm septic. Witness of Jesus has a pretty level-headed response that has nothing to do with the Rothschild banking cartels. Oops, no wait. Ultimately, we need to put climate changers in jail for fraud and embezzlement of taxes. Mm-hmm. We need to get rid of the United Nations and all treaties, and we need to put the last 10 presidents in jail for treason with the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds for being enemies of American citizens. Witches need to repent, no doubt. Everything thinks their own versions of sin and idolatry are okay. Not so. Everything that offends will be destroyed. And to me, the true definition of a witch is one who poisons. So just like everything. All of
I love a comment that even the question asker who asked about witches and scientists dimming something like, whoa, calm down, crazy person.
Guys, chemtrails are obviously a direct result of President Obama through Carter's witch sin.
We need to put the last 10 presidents in jail, even the dead ones.
We need to exhume Reagan, and it's the only way we're going to get rid of these goddamn chemtrails. Fuck me.
Oh, Jesus. and a witch is just someone who poisons.
No, a witch is not.
No, that seems unfair because you're going to lump a lot of just regular poisoners in with witches.
I just want one question that is just going to be relaxing to answer. I don't think that's so much to ask. I just want one soothing question.
Yeah. You mean it's not soothing thinking about the witch-led solar death of the universe?
Yeah. What is your opinion on returning food if your order is incorrect? There we go. This is nice. And does your opinion alter if the food is takeout rather than dine-in? Recently, I ordered a calzone from a local pizza... Okay, listen, you know what? I don't need this whole story. They got your calzone wrong, right?
Well, no. Okay, the fuck-up that they did is, in my mind, treasonous.
Okay.
I think they should be hanged from the neck until dead for what they did to this man's calzone.
I ordered a calzone from a local pizzeria in which the filling I received was ham rather than pepperoni.
Hanged from the neck until dead. Dead in the street. This is high treason. High calzone treason. Drag them away.
With a calzone, you didn't know till you bit into it. You couldn't look and say, like, you had to take a bite and be like, what?
You went from having pizza simulcrum to this weird chicken cordon bleu with no chicken
fucking
mess.
You've hammed me, sir. You've hammed me.
God, I hate ham.
I've been John Hammed.
Ham, you are so close to
bacon. Are you suggesting that John Ham earned his numb de plume by going to calzone serving restaurants and hiding his horrible namesake inside of those sacred pockets of dough?
Sounds like Johnny Appleseed of ham.
Oh, Christ.
Johnny Hampleseed. Okay.
Stupid. I totally get it. This is a tough thing because if you're in the building,
I would be. I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about getting ham.
Angry
when I thought I was getting pepperoni. I'm sorry, Travis. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say if you're in the building and it's brought to your table, it's so easy to be like, oh, I ordered ham, but I ordered pepperoni. But even then, I was with my friend the other day. He ordered some boneless chicken wings. Got bone-in chicken wings. And the look on the face of the server when he was like, oh, they were supposed to be boneless. And you could clearly see this process of I don't know what to do with these then. I can't unbone them. And eventually he was just like, no, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, I was literally, when I started reading this question, I was thinking almost, I can't imagine a scenario where I wouldn't just grin and bear it. Because for me, the social discomfort that I would be causing myself and this person by sending it back it would be too extreme to stomach, but not more extreme to stomach than fucking calzone ham. That is, I guess, a bridge too far for this guy.
I think the bigger concern for me is not the it's not the awkwardness of the initial exchange. It's the okay, now everybody who also got their food just now, go ahead and eat.
Yeah.
And I'll watch you, and then later you'll watch me eat a pepperoni calzone.
And I'll dream of my hamless future.
Now, I will say this. Even if I didn't send it back, I would still, if I was in the restaurant, if I was dying in, I would still say something. Because at the very least, my meal should be discounted because you fucking got it wrong. But it's so much tougher with delivery. Because unless you, open the box, take a bite of the fucking ham zone, and drive back to the...
And that is not a good look to tell the delivery person, wait one second.
Let me test this first.
You take a bite first.
You take a bite of the King's calzone.
John Ham got me last time. No, but, that idea of, if the driver's already... your only option is, to drive... to the place.
Chasing him down the street. Stop, stop! There's been a ham mistake!
Charlatan!
Christopher,
come back, you've stolen my dignity!
Christopher, there's been a terrible ham mistake! You must stop your vehicle.
Someone summon a ambulance.
On the subject of getting the meal discounted, because they made a ham mistake inside my dough, I would not worry so much about immediate fiducial restitution, because I would sue that establishment for every goddamn penny that they have.
Yeah. I would walk into the court with a neck brace on. I was hanged.
I Papa John's. I would fucking take Papa John.
I think that one of the things that bothers me about getting the wrong item is when I correct them and then they take the wrong item back. Like, no, that's mine now. You put it in front of... When we were at that coffee shop this weekend across from the Hotel Kabuki, they gave me the wrong drink and I had to correct them. And then they took that wrong drink back. And it's like, hold on a second. This is mine now. I'm going to decide what to do with this. You focus on your thing. I'm going to decide how I distribute this. Maybe I want to split it. I don't know.
You've created an impossible minefield, but I do think I can eat around the ham. It's going to take me a while.
I might have wanted to cut the crust off and turn it into breadsticks. You're not the boss of me.
I've actually brought my pet crow here for this very reason. He digs into the calzone and removes the ham so I can enjoy a ham-free experience.
He's my right-hand ham man.
He's my ham crow.
If you eat it, you have just like entered into the situation, the possibility of impropriety, in that you are creating ham calzones with the intent of eating them, in which case that means you like ham. Get out of here.
You like secret ham. Ham, you'll never know how much ham will be in that bite. Enjoy.
Secret, dirty, free ham.
You fucking monster.
You're hungry and you put in the one ingredient you know no one would ever eat. And that's ham.
And it all would have worked out if it wasn't for the one guy who ran down the street chasing the delivery driver and unraveled your dastardly ham plans, John Ham.
Do you think the first person that the calzone got invented, everyone was like, well, we did it. We perfected food. And then the first person was like, I can ruin that. Some fucking gnarled fucking necromancer was like, I know what to do. You all seem to be enjoying your precious calzones.
I think it is a good point that I think the difference, so like the difference between the boneless versus bone-in wings and this is that is just form version different. This is like content version different, where it's like if you ordered a steak sandwich and they brought you a chicken sandwich, like that's a fucking thing.
No, because ham and pepperoni are still technically cut from the same.
But you understand what
cloth.
I'm saying? This idea of like I asked for a specific. This is like if you ordered buffalo wings and they brought you teriyaki wings, like that's a problem. Like they got it 100% wrong.
What if you got a ham calzone? Could you not just sort of sit the ham out and wait for it to turn into pepperoni?
Just age it in the sun.
The inclusion of bones in the wings is a much bigger jump, I think, than pepperoni to ham, because the inclusion of bones in the wings is ruining the illusion that I have that meat just comes from the store.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's as much as I have to think about it. This meat comes from the store.
Mm-hmm.
See, I hate the bones because it slows down my consumption process.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much
as I gotta work around something.
Not as much as ham slows down my calzone consumption process, which is to say absolutely. It absolutely terminates the
Absolute
process.
Ham zero.
No one's seen Griffin for 40 years. He took a bite of a ham calzone and had to retreat into the mountains to really think about things.
He turned into a jade statuette. Remember when Griffin ate that ham accidentally and turned into a jade statuette because he didn't want to be alive anymore?
All the best folk stories start with Griffin eating a ham calzone.
I miss Griffin.
I miss Griffin. Not as much as I would have liked to share his pepperoni calzone, though.
Mm, goddamn.
We were going to split that. He jumped on that grenade for me, and he turned into the jade statue. Well, if you want to wipe the taste of ham out of your mouth, go to naturebox.com. We want to thank again for being a sponsor on the show, and you can get something like barbecue kettle kernels to wash that terrible, terrible ham taste out of your mouth.
No, a no ham guarantee at naturebox.com/mybrother.
If you want to pretend that your ham is a little person, go to meundies.com/mybrother and buy some underwear to put on it. You get 20% off your first order, and right now you'll get free shipping.
For your ham underwear. Great time.
The perfect size for your ham.
Oh, Christ.
This ham is really fucking dry. Yeah, I know. I've been storing it in MeUndies, and it has moisture-wicking properties.
I'm trying to turn it into pepperoni.
Thank you to everybody who came to our live shows in San Francisco and L.A. We had a real hoot, I would say. It was a hoot nanny, if I may be so bold. Thank you to the folks at Cobb's and
the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Everybody was super, super nice and really helped us to get those shows off the ground for you.
And also, Sketchfest people were amazing. If you've never been to Sketchfest, you need to go next year because it's incredible.
We will probably be posting the San Francisco live show in, I don't know, in a few weeks. We're kind of keeping it in the chamber because Justin's about to move and we'll probably be disconnected from the web for a while. So we are going to publish that one, but it may be a little while.
We got P.O. boxes. Mine's 54, P.O. Box 54, Huntley, West Virginia, 25706.
Mine is 173469, Los Angeles, California, 90034.
There are still tickets available for Chicago and Milwaukee shows coming up. Go to, I think it's bit.ly/MBMBAMChicago and bit.ly/MBMBAM. What, Trav?
M-I-L.
Yeah. M-I-L. Okay. So go there. They are very close to sold out. I know that Minneapolis is already sold out, and I'm checking the most recent count right now, and it looks like we are 89% sold out in Milwaukee and 76% sold out in Chicago. So if you've been thinking about getting tickets to that, do not sleep on that any longer.
No.
It is time.
We've received a lot of great questions already, but we've got an upcoming episode with Paul Scheer as our guest expert. If you would like him to answer one of your requests for advice, email us mbmbam@gmail.com or mbmbam@maximumfun.org. And those questions should be about Jason Statham movies, thank you notes, or weird collectibles. Just make sure to put Gespert in the subject line so it's easy for me to find. And that should be coming up soon.
Max Fun Drive is coming up. That is the Maximum Fun Network's annual 2-week-long fundraiser thing. I don't know what to call it. But it's a lot of fun. We have some bonus length episodes. We have a extra donor-only episode. You won't want to miss this year's donor-only episode because it's very special. That's all I'll say about it. That's coming up. What are the dates for that?
I believe it's it starts March 16th.
Okay. Starts March 16th and goes for 2 weeks. So it'll be a very special time if you're a donor. Thank you very much. If you have not given to the show and you want to support the show, it's a great time to do it because you get some cool stuff.
If you've never tried other shows on the network, it's a really great time to check those out because everyone's going to be bringing their A game. Shows like Oh No, Ross and Carrie, Lady to Lady, The Goose Down, Flophouse, all kinds of wonderful shows, including Sawbones with Justin McElroy and Sidney McElroy. It's a marital tour of Misguided Medicine. It's hilarious. It's Teresa's favorite show on the network and one of the few that I am not on, so that's cool.
Okay. thank you all very, very much. And also thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Is that it?
You want this?
All right, Griffin, one more question. I'm going to grow on.
Bounce this final Yahoo off you is sent in by Level Billion Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user. They are anonymous. Can't see their name. No username. Okay. It's by an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who asks, what is Barack Obama's username on the PlayStation Network?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, and Me Kiss Your Dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hello, I'm Taku, the elven magician.
Merle Highchurch here, the master of clerical magic.
I'm Magnus Burnsides, the fighter.
Did you guys like that? Did you, the listener, like that? You were just swept up in a world of high fantasy and magic where anything can happen and anything is possible.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, Dungeon Master for The Adventure Zone, a new podcast on Maximum Fun, in which magic and mystery intertwine for a very erotically charged role-playing experience. You can catch it every other Thursday here on MaximumFun.org or iTunes. It's for Dungeons & Dragons, but with family.